Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We are into our hump show, middle show of the work week, though I know it was a holiday weekend for a lot of people, long weekend for different Americans around the country, but we are here because October takes a lot of attention and brain power. And I was saying earlier to a friend who I had to apologize for because I hadn't responded promptly to a text message that I'm having a hard time, as I always do in October, having a hard time balancing personal with professional this month. And that includes things like cleaning the house and exercising and eating with my husband and walking the dog and all those types of things, not to mention sleep. So I know October is pretty nutty. It's chaotic. It's hectic, but it's also good for business. And I don't want to miss anything. It's impossible, actually, for us to get to everything in 4 hours, each edition of the show. But I do try. And I also want to make sure we focus on those storylines or events or topics that I think are not just about one particular fan base or one particular sport, but are really human interest stories and can appeal around the country. And I know that certainly is the case when it comes to this tragedy that the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Gaudreau family are still dealing with and will forever. It's a franchise forever changed. It's a family forever changed. And to think about what happened still gets me emotional and hits me in my heart big time. It's heartbreaking. To think about the accident that claimed the lives of Johnny and his little brother, his younger brother, Matthew. They were inseparable. They were best friends. They played hockey together when they were younger. And then Johnny went on to his NHL career. And here he is a decade in, a father twice over with a brand new baby. And his little daughter has become a big sister to a son named after him, and his brother doing the same thing, married with now a baby. And little sister Katie was supposed to get married the day after they were killed in an accident in which they were riding their bicycles, and a driver suspected to be under the influence plowed right into them as he was passing in the dark. And as someone who has two brothers and who got married recently, I can't even fathom what it's been like for this family to process not losing just one, but two of their cherished members. They were siblings. They were sons. They were brothers. They were fathers. They were husbands. They were friends. And they were hockey players. And to hear and see the way that the NHL season has celebrated Johnny, honored their lives, welcomed the family to let them know that the Gaudreaus are not alone. To me, that's been far more impactful than anything that could ever happen on the ice. And we talk about this sometimes in the wake of natural disasters or mass shootings, man-made disasters, where sports have this uncanny ability to bring us together and help us heal. And I do believe the healing process is playing out now as the NHL season gets underway. But as hard as it was, as emotional as it would be, the biggest step forward was always going to be the Columbus Blue Jackets getting back on their own ice and moving forward without their best player. And a lot has changed, and they have a brand new coach in Dean Evason. They've got a new free agent in Sean Monahan, who specifically chose Columbus so he could reunite with his best friend and former teammate, Johnny Gaudreau. You've now got guys on other teams that play with Johnny. I mean, he's been in the league long enough that there are people all over the NHL that knew him and cared about him, either played with him or played against him. His impact, it's felt not just nationwide, but obviously up into Canada, where he played in Calgary for years. This was the biggest step, the biggest hurdle. Not that it makes it all better or makes it any easier, but at some point, the Blue Jackets had to get back on the ice at home with their fans and honor Johnny, celebrate him. They chose to raise a banner with his number 13 into the rafters. And they did it with his extended family and friends and teammates there for the occasion. And I hope, just as I do every time we come across one of these situations where it's a tragedy again, regardless of what kind, that sports can be a conduit and they can help people heal. If you watch the tribute, you probably saw there did not appear to be a dry eye in the entire arena. I was watching in my living room and I was crying. My husband was also glued to the TV and he knows nothing about hockey except for what I tell him. The Columbus Blue Jackets did a masterful job at remembering the best about Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew and the family. Guy, who's been with the team to practice a couple of times upon their invitation, has been around the rink. And also to allow his family and friends to grieve and to be together in a place where other people knew him. How often is that so important? I think that's really the main thrust behind a funeral or a memorial service. It's not for the people who are gone. They don't know. It's about the people left behind. Being able to hug someone else who loved that person the way that you did. Being able to tell stories about that person to someone who knew them. Exchanging your memories. And this was yet another way for them to remember and honor. And at the same time, move forward. As much as that's challenging and difficult. Time, and I have said this before, most recently about my grandmother when she passed away 2 years ago, time is both a blessing and a curse because it keeps rolling, it keeps moving, whether we like it or not. But the passing of time mercifully dulls some of that acute pain and that grief. It's not quite as sharp as the days pass and the months pass and the years pass. But it's also a curse because time takes you farther and farther away from the person that you love, from the person that you lost, and you go on and you live life, hopefully, and there's joy, even in sorrow, but the farther away you get, the more you feel like you've left that person behind. And so that is both a blessing and a curse. And I'm sure it feels that way for this family and for the Blue Jackets and the community of Columbus, which is tight-knit. I know I've heard from a lot of fans since this accident happened how painful it is for the people in Columbus as well. He chose them. Johnny chose Columbus. It was a big deal for them to sign him as a free agent. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I started listening to the tribute on the radio. I wanted to hear the Columbus Blue Jackets perspective. And there were a couple of pregame interviews, including one with Dean Evason. A quick exchange with Sean Monahan. Mostly, I think they were focused on what they had to do, trying to keep their emotions in check as much as possible. And so I listened to that pregame and actually listened to the video tribute. It was about 5.5 minutes. It aired in the arena and they carried it on the radio broadcast, though you couldn't see it at the time. And then I listened to the cheers inside the arena as they raised the banner and the music and the beginning of the game, which is unique. After that, I had paused it on NHL Network, and I went and I watched it. So I wanted to get both perspectives, from the radio and from the TV. And if you have not seen it, the video specifically, but also the tribute to start the game, I would encourage you to go and check it out. I did share a few videos and a bunch of photos today online at A-Law Radio, and I'll even retweet the video tribute now. Again, this is one they played pregame. If you never saw Johnny Gaudreau play hockey and you don't know anything about his family, this will tell you a lot about who he is and why so many were inspired by him.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Why so many people are feeling his loss in an emotional and deep way. And so the Blue Jackets did a phenomenal job. And coming up next hour, Jeff Sabota, who is from BlueJackets.com, he will join us to share his perspective. And I really appreciate it. It's been a long day and no doubt emotional for anyone who was in the arena. After sharing the video, there was a special announcement inside the arena as they prepared to raise a special banner.
We ask you to stand if you are able and cheer as we raise a banner in his memory and for the legacy of number 13. As we say our thanks to the entire Gaudreau family for sharing Johnny with us.
It was a really long tribute from the fans, even as they raised the banner. I know we just gave you a clip of it there, but again, I'd encourage you to go back and to watch the videos from the NHL, Twix, or the Blue Jackets account, because as they were raising the banner, they're playing the music. The announcer encourages them to cheer for him one last time, and the chants of Johnny Hockey break out inside the arena. And that happened multiple times during the game. It was pretty tough to watch his family. So all of them were there. You had his immediate family down on the ice in a box just off the playing surface. So his mom and his dad, Guy and Jane, and the two sisters. And then you had his wife and his brother-in-law who walked out onto the ice through the two lines from the Panthers and the Blue Jackets. So they were lined up along this red carpet. And as they walked out, Meredith knows a lot of these players and they were greeting her. She was able to hug a few of them. But she gets out to center ice with her daughter and son. And Sean Monahan comes and stands next to them and takes their little son, Johnny. And that's when they raise the banner. They play the music and Meredith is standing there in the middle. And of course, she's crying. They're all crying. But to be able to be out there and to be honored. And then off to the side where his family was, his immediate family, that was really hard to watch. His mom just sobbing, as you can imagine. The pain of this, it's still so fresh and new. And of course, their family will never be the same. But I just love the way that the fans try to encourage them and then encourage the players as they somehow had to drop the puck. But not before a message from Meredith Gaudreau.
Hey, Fifth Line, I want to thank you all for your support through this time. Your outpouring of love has helped our family tremendously. As the team gets ready to take a warm-up before the game, I don't want anyone to be sad. I want you all to be inspired by the life that John lived. That means love your family first and foremost, and when it's time to drop the puck, let's love the game that John loved. Thank you, and go Jackets.
Both benches standing here, and we're going to have a moment. There's no left winger. We'll drop the puck. 13 seconds.
What a moment.
Off the clock. Number Johnny Gaudreau.
Again, really incredible. If you haven't seen this tribute, the video is out there. It's all of 13 seconds. But it was a little bit like the missing man tribute that pilots will do in flight formation when they're missing one of their own. And so they left that spot open for Johnny Gaudreau because he should have been out there on the ice. And I appreciate so much that the Panthers were part of this. A couple of former teammates there as well on the Panthers. Not sure if you all saw the message from Matthew Tkachuk. He couldn't be there, but he wrote a really heartfelt message to not just the fans, but the family. And then Sean Monahan, he had a moment late in this game.
Puck is cleared back through the neutral zone. Chinnikov has it, plays it over to Sean Monahan with a shot save made. Rebound! Score! Sean Monahan got two kicks at the can, and the second one was good for a goal. And the Blue Jackets once again lead. It is 2-1.
I felt like John is watching down on us today, so I had a feeling I was going to get one. Fortunately enough, I did. We lost, which sucks. But I definitely could feel John today.
It was hard for these guys to talk about the tribute, especially Sean, who was so close to him. But even other members of the team, other guys who were there, the Panthers too, it's really hard for them to process and then try to focus on hockey, no doubt. It was impressive mental and emotional toughness. Now, Dean Evason, he's only been part of the team for a few months, but he's watched all of this play out, especially that pregame tribute that featured the 13 seconds in which no one played the puck and they missed Johnny on the ice.
I think it hit everybody when they did that. What a fantastic gesture. I don't know. I'm sure Monty set that up. And then the crowd was absolutely amazing. I mean, they obviously loved Johnny, and they showed their appreciation.
That's definitely got to be up there as one of the most kind of emotional, powerful moments I've seen in my time playing hockey. So, again, that's just kind of what kind of person that he was. And, again, just getting a chance to spend a little bit of time with his dad the other day and stuff like that and get to meet his family and his wife and kids, hopefully, here soon.
James Van Riemsdyk just sharing his emotions and his perception. The goal with Bob McGilligan on Blue Jackets radio. The idea that they were all able to support and encourage each other. That gives me some hope. Can't imagine going through this as a family, but knowing how much Johnny and Matthew were beloved and how much of an impact they made in the sport, in Columbus, in Calgary, in a relatively short period of time, about a decade or so, I think 11 years. And I was thinking about how young Johnny was, 31 years old. He may not know, but how special for his family to recognize that they were not the only ones who loved this man. And they're not the only ones who miss him and Matthew. And also a neat gesture, too, that both the Blue Jackets and the Flyers, because Guy Gaudreau and his family live close to Philadelphia, that they have had him there and had him in the ice. And now he will be remembered and be part of the family, too. And I hope that continues, because I think there's healing there. It was really powerful, very well done, emotional. When you have an opportunity, I'd encourage you to check out the video, maybe go back and watch it. The whole ceremony is online. But I did share some of the photos. They all had number 13 warm-up jerseys, both the Blue Jackets and the Panthers. And coming up at the top of next hour, Jeff Sobota will join us from Columbus and share his perceptions. He's covered the team for 7 years, which includes the whole tenure of Johnny there in Columbus itself. At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Hump Show, middle show of the work week. Head is spinning, lots of emotions in my heart, and watching baseball and following the football trades. I know that's something that we'll talk about here on the show, and Jerry Jones too coming up, but really was captivated by what played out on the ice in Columbus. So I hope that you'll take the opportunity to read some of the tributes, but also to go and watch the videos and check out the photos. And Jeff Sobota will join us at the top of the hour from Columbus. It's After Hours on our Facebook page. Also, our show Twix at Amy After Hours. If you're looking for a chance to post questions for Ask Amy Anything, that is your opportunity. Now, this is not a huge surprise coming out of the football world, but it certainly is funny to hear Mark Davis gush about Tom Brady. And even as he was welcoming him into the Raiders family, he did take the opportunity to mention the Tuck Rule. So that cracked me up, because for a long time, Mark Davis was angry about it. Many Raiders fans are still angry about it. This goes back to their days in Oakland. But now Davis and Brady are partners. And here's one quote that did not slip by me. He said, "Tom is somebody that for many years I didn't like very much." This is Davis. And he was talking in the wake of the NFL league meetings that wrapped up on Tuesday. And he referenced the whole Tuck Rule mess in 2002. Of course, the rule's been changed now, which is kind of funny. Quote, and this is Davis talking about Brady, quote, "He did admit that it was a fumble. So those are important aspects of the situation." Really? That's an important aspect of the situation? You needed him to admit that it was actually a fumble and not a forward pass so that you could then welcome Tom Brady to be a part owner of your franchise? Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. What if he had not admitted that it was a fumble? Well, then what? You guess we'll never know. But you can maybe infer that from what he had to say. He goes on to talk about Brady and a partnership and how they've spent time together. He even calls him a bright young man, which I like, in his mid-40s. Absolutely. He is a bright young man. So Davis was holding court talking to reporters about this move after the owners approved it.
We're just really proud to have him as part of this organization. He's a competitor. He's a bright young man. There's just so many pluses for this for both sides. It's just great.
See what I mean? A bright young man. That's terrific. Age is just a number, especially when you're Tom Brady. As for Brady, he did put a statement out on social. Throughout my NFL career, I've learned that at its core, football is a game of teamwork, resilience, and a relentless pursuit of excellence. The Raiders franchise and the city of Las Vegas embody these same values, and I'm honored to become part of that story. See, I don't know about that. Of course, he's got to say that. But it reminded me a little bit of Aaron Rodgers before the season, talking about how he has played. He's been fortunate to play for two franchises that value a standard of excellence. Almost fell out of my chair. He insulted the Green Bay Packers by putting them and the Jets in the same sentence, in the same standard of excellence. I would bet there are some fans out there that would dispute what Brady's saying about how the Raiders franchise embodies the values that he lists. Teamwork, resilience, a relentless pursuit of excellence. Where does the Josh McDaniels hire fall in that? Goodness. They do have a brand new stadium. And I know they're trying. Okay, Mark Davis is trying, but there are a bunch of fans out there that would tell you the moves that he makes sometimes run counter to the values and the pursuit of excellence that Tom Brady is talking about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So what is Brady's role with the team?
Kind of putting the cart before the horse. We wanted to get to this point first before we started defining anything of that nature and all that. But it's just exciting. What I was going to say is we traded Davante Adams for Tom Brady. Third-round pick. And although Tom can't play, I think he can help us select a quarterback in the future and potentially train him as well.
That's sort of funny. Might actually be an interesting question about who's more valuable, Davante Adams or Tom Brady. Now, on the field, Tom can't help you win anymore. But could he potentially bring that type of wisdom and experience and acumen to the front office that the Raiders have been missing? Not allowing them to... Oh, no, wait a minute. He probably would have approved the hire of Josh McDaniels. Bad move. Bad move. 17-month process. I didn't realize that it had stretched on that long. I knew that it had taken well more than a year, but they were going back and forth. Because of his role as a broadcaster and working with one of the NFL's media partners, could he also be a team owner? Obviously, you can't be a player and have a stake in a team. So that was not the case. But yeah, the league kind of came up with these restrictions on him as a broadcaster because he wanted to become a team owner, but he's got to follow these various rules as he works for Fox. He's not allowed to be in weekly production meetings with either players or coaches in the games that he's covering. So, for instance, he's done a bunch of Cowboys games. He's not allowed to sit in with players and coaches. He cannot be in another team's facility, and he cannot watch practice. That kind of goes back to the whole days of Spygate, does it not? I know he had nothing to do with that. That was all Bill Belichick. But yeah, he's not allowed to do that because as an owner, I mean, he's got to abide by the same rules that would apply to other teams and other franchises. As now a part owner, he can't be in those meetings and in facilities to then take that intel and use it to benefit his own franchise. So he's got a different set of stipulations. I'm not sure if you know this, but broadcasters generally have access. I mean, my years of doing play-by-play, I would either meet with coaches in person or talk to them on the phone ahead of time, sometimes players as well. I would also be at shoot-arounds. I would go to practice. They would allow us to sit in. And, you know, depending upon the trust level there, you could participate more or less if the coach was comfortable with you. But in this case, Brady's not allowed to do that because he's also got a role as a minority owner. And so those restrictions are staying in place, even though he is finally approved as part owner of the Raiders. And yeah, Mark Davis speaks so highly of him.
It was about 4 years ago when Tom was, deciding where he was going to play again. And I wanted him to play for the Raiders. And so we got to know each other a little bit then. And it didn't come to fruition for certain reasons. And he went to Tampa Bay and ended up winning a Super Bowl. I had stayed in touch with his agent and just let his agent know at the time that, you know, I would love at some point in time for Tom to be part of this organization. And so the seeds were sown then. And today it came to fruition. And I've gotten to know Tom over the last 4 years, and he's just really one hell of a guy.
Well, and we knew that from various reports and rumors out there that the Raiders desperately wanted to bring Tom Brady on board. And so Davis says, I stayed in touch with his agent after that. Who knows how that could have changed things. But the fact is, Brady, with any front office, with any organization, instantly brings credibility. Because the thinking goes, the line of thinking, Brady wouldn't join this organization if it was a loser, right? He wouldn't join this organization if there wasn't an opportunity there. He wouldn't join this organization if he didn't feel like there was hope to, what, be excellent and be a champion, which is all he's ever wanted to do in his years in football. So again, the stipulations, the restrictions for Tom Brady, I mean, Roger Goodell mentioned them following the meetings. He says Tom's been abiding by these issues that we kind of saw as potential conflicts of interest. And actually, Mark Davis said he gets it because his dad, Al, was very protective of all the Raiders' intel. So I thought that was interesting, right? You've got an owner who would have had a major issue with a former player becoming a minority owner for another team and then coming in and sitting in on production meetings and walking around their facilities. So the fact that Mark Davis is okay with that is also a big deal. Now, Brady won't be in broadcasting forever, though he did sign a long-term contract with Fox. And I do think it's interesting, too, that mentioned the Dallas Cowboys four different times. The Fox crews already had Cowboys games. And they actually would like Brady to be in their production meetings. But that, for now, that's not part of what he's allowed to do as an owner. Maybe it changes moving forward. But I can understand why the owners themselves in an uber competitive league don't want Brady to have any type of an advantage, a competitive advantage. And it makes sense that the league would approve that, again, because they don't want themselves to be in that situation. At A-Law Radio, but if you would like to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, our show account at Amy After Hours, and also vote for the TD of the week, still a few minutes left there. So plenty to keep you busy, even as we take breaks. All right, coming up, Jerry Jones doing his weekly radio appearance on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan, and it got a bit contentious. I can imagine he's on edge these days. I'm going to try not to laugh. If I were the broadcasters in this situation, I might have had a hard time not laughing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
We begin with Game 2 of the ALCS and something the Yankees have been waiting patiently for.
Now here's the 1-1. Judge, it's a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track near the wall. She's gone!
Aaron Judge with his first homer of the playoffs. John Sterling the call on Yankees radio. Yankees beat the Guardians 6-3 in Game 2, and they take a 2-0 series lead. Game 3 Thursday in Cleveland. Mets and Dodgers play Game 3 of the NLCS Wednesday in New York. The series tied at a game apiece. Luis Severino against Walker Buehler, the pitching matchup. The NFL has awarded Super Bowl 62 in 2028 to Atlanta. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says Atlanta is a world-class city.
They have been known on a global basis as the city that can make things happen, brings great events, reflects the best of America and the best of this country.
This will be the fourth time Atlanta has hosted a Super Bowl and the second time at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Other NFL news, Jets acquire Devontae Adams from the Raiders. The Bills acquire Amari Cooper from the Browns. The Vikings acquire Cam Akers from the Texans. NFL owners approve Tom Brady's purchase of a minority stake in the Las Vegas Raiders. Now to the NHL. Leon Draisaitl scores in overtime. The Oilers beat the Flyers 4-3. Elsewhere, Matthew Coronato with a couple of goals. The Flames over the Blackhawks 3-1. In a shootout, Stars over the Sharks 3-2. The Kraken beat the Predators 7-3. Wild over the Blues 4-1. Panthers beat the Blue Jackets 4-3. Spencer Knight with 35 saves. Hurricanes doubled up the Devils 4-2. The Capitals beat the Golden Knights 4-2. Alex Ovechkin with a couple of assists in that game. And Anthony Cirelli with a goal and an assist. The Lightning topped the Canucks 4-1 in Tampa. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
The Lions from the 37 of Dallas. They lead this one 27-6. First drive, third quarter. There's the shotgun snap to Goff. Back, looking, throwing right got side. Him. Got a man out there.
Go, J-ball. Baby!
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Oh, baby! Goff with a rainbow! Williams hauls it in, and the Lions add to their lead.
We've got to get better, simply. And obviously, we're going into the bye week. I mean, we're 3-3, six games under us. A long season to go. I've been in worse situations, I guess you can say, in teams, and then got it going. Teams that got on a streak, I think about 2018, it's about us sticking together. And I think after a loss like this, no better time than to test the character of that.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that is the truth. This is certainly gut check time for the Dallas Cowboys. Remember, before the season, Jerry Jones said they are all in. This is an all-in season, and he didn't make a lot of changes. The reason that he gave is because he felt like they had the right team in place, and they were poised to be able to build on what they did last year. Just needed one more chance, keeping the band together, so to speak. And for that reason, he was royally criticized by a lot of people in Dallas, as well as on the national scene, for not making a lot of moves to improve the team. A relatively quiet offseason in terms of player acquisitions, in terms of free agents. Instead, it was about standing pat while other teams were making moves. And that really has been part of the axe, I would say, that various media people are grinding with Jerry Jones. Now, he has also indicated that he still believes they have the pieces in place. They still need to get healthy. They've got some work to do, but he's not planning to make changes. He does put himself out there on a regular basis in terms of doing interviews. Not only does he do pressers throughout the week, he's available after every game, including Sunday against the Lions. You hear Dan Miller there on Lions Radio. And he does a weekly hit with Sean and RJ on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. And they were trying to get pertinent questions answered by Jerry Jones on Tuesday.
There was a lot of criticism that you guys didn't add, didn't spend, and don't add, and don't spend, and are not aggressive enough with some of the problems that are still haunting the Cowboys today that we see play out on the field. That's the point of talking about the offseason.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point?
Well, there is a point there, but it didn't sound like Jerry Jones wanted to go back over the offseason. But you hear they're asking him, are they coming back to haunt you? Are you seeing this play out on the field? What many people thought might happen. You stand pat, you don't make any moves, you're relatively quiet. Now others in the NFL, including your own division, have passed you by, like the Commanders. Well, it goes on, and it becomes more acrimonious.
I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Oh, no.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
All right. I appreciate Sean and RJ trying to ask tough questions, but at the same time, not wanting to push Jerry over the edge. Like, you can hear them try to dial down the temperature and get everyone to calm down. And by everyone, I mean Jerry. That's Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan, our Dallas
affiliate. You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
I like their humor. They've got a sense of humor. It's clear that they hit a nerve with Jerry Jones. It's clear that he was bristling at the idea that mere radio hosts, mere mortals, could dare to suggest that there might be a different way of doing things, that maybe they, as radio hosts, are you kidding me? We're so stupid in radio. What do we know?
What's your point?
As mere radio hosts, that they might be able to suggest a different way of doing things. And it's not like they were suggesting here, this move and this move and that move, and why don't you do this? But just trying to understand his way of thinking.
What's your point?
He obviously dropped a "do you know who I am" in a manner of speaking, a bit of arrogance injected into the conversation. But my response, as I hear it and as I've heard it and just listen to some of the reaction to Jerry, I mean, it's radio gold, first of all. For Sean and RJ, most important thing is not about getting answers for how to fix the Dallas Cowboys or why Jerry Jones didn't make this move or that one. No, they're trying to get people to listen to their radio show. This is radio gold. They are broadcasters first. And to have Jerry Jones in this situation and push his buttons just enough that they're able to get him to be emotional and kind of, I wouldn't say lose control necessarily, get a little bit bristly and insulting. I'm sure they didn't take it personally, but my goodness, threatening to move his show to a different day part and get different radio hosts to ask questions. Well, they're not your puppets, Jera. Also, you've chosen to do this, what, media tour that you do every single week. So good for them. Radio Gold. It's been played a million ways to Sunday all over the country. So congratulations to our Dallas affiliate for knocking it out of the park. And Sean and RJ and Jerry, man, you're the one who put yourself in that situation. Buck up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What's your point?